Now, if you read through the Bible, you have some questions about this text, especially on the notion that the human is divided into three parts, the spirit, the soul, and the body. We kind of get that when we went to college and study and hear people talk about like our spirit, our emotions, and our body. But the origin of this thought was really from the Greeks, philosophers, about 500 years before Jesus was born, the philosophers coined that the human body, the human being, there's at least two parts, but most likely three. And so we also see a reflection in the Bible itself where the human is divided into two, like the body and the spirit, and that God take the dust of the earth and mold into a human shape, and God breathe his spirit into, and so the human being Adam, Adama, become Adam, and a dust figure become a living human being. And that the spirit would not depart from the body until death. But when death comes, then the body returned to dust and the spirit returned to God. Ecclesiastes 12 taught us that. But we also see in the Bible talking about the human being a unit of one inseparable. How so? In the beginning, the human doesn't exist until God breathes into the dust. And also at the end of time, God will raise the body up, and then the spirit, the body, will become one and will be one eternally. So that aspect of being one, indivisible, is really what God intended for you and for me to be. So this notions of you and me being three parts is somewhat confusing. And why is that? I think the counsel of the scripture taught us in Hebrews 1:1 that God really find multiple ways to really explain his love, his message to us. And so the human body, because the people in Thessalonica, the Greeks there, really believe the human are three part. And so Paul, with the intervention of the Holy Spirit, said, even they believe the human body is three parts, all three will be sanctified. And I think that is the message that we got, this inheritance of what we get here. Whether the human body is three part or two or a singular one, it doesn't matter. What matters is that God loves you and me so much that God wants to know that every aspect of your life and my life will be sanctified. And God wants that done. On the message today, I will be talking about how the spirit is sanctified, how the soul or the human psychological being is sanctified, and how the body is sanctified. I want to talk about those. But always remember that all those are just different aspects of the self, you and me, as a human being, a son and daughter of God. Now, the spirit. I mentioned a little bit that human was created by God, and so God took dust and mold into the shape like himself, in his own likeness and in his own image. But that dusty Adama wasn't alive. It wasn't a human being. It was just a figure. And then God blew into this human, and the human come alive. Ecclesiastes 12:7 said, at the moment of death, the body becomes dust and the spirit returns to God. So we see the unity and we see the separation. So when separation takes place, death takes place. In that light, there is only one. And so when Adam and Eve sinned against God, that sin affects both the physical and the spirit. The body and the spirit both are affected by sin. 2 Corinthians 7:1 tells us that when we sin, we not only sin against this body or pollute this body that God had created holy for himself, but we polluted and contaminate the spirit that is in us. In Psalm 51:10, the Bible said that a spirit of a sinful man run away from God, doesn't want to be close to God. He'll flee from God until it is made new. It is sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In Romans 8:12-16, the Bible said that as sinful, we are away from God. We don't even know God. So not only that our spirit run away from God, our spirit are lost. Our spirit don't know God. So when the Holy Spirit come into our lives, give us a rebirth, like Jesus said in John 3, so our spirit is touched by the Holy Spirit. And when at that point in time was the first time that our spirit were called God, Abba, Father. Before that, our spirit would never call God Abba at all. Our spirit might really consider God our enemy then, because our spirit are not sanctified. Now, how so? 1 Corinthians 2:15 said that when the Holy Spirit entered into us, that our spirit began to change and we began to learn differences. What is pleasing to God versus what is not pleasing to God. At that point in time, our spirit would know the Word of God. The Word of God, as spelled in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, tell us that the Word of God will enter into us and tell this is what's spiritual and this is physical. This is of God and this is of man. This is of righteousness and this is of sinfulness. And only when our ears, our hearts, will take in the Word of God and know this, that the Word of God is also the work of the Holy Spirit. And so we understand that it's when the Holy Spirit take on us, take on our spirit and breathe into our spirit, would our spirit and the human being be able to discern this is of God, this is not of God. You can imagine people who are not in Christ, who are not born again, would see sins as part of human nature. Let's say, for example, pornography. People would see pornography as something normal, something human. They will glorify this body. They will glorify themselves and said this is a wonderful thing because they don't see that as sinful. in their mind, the spirit would not discern what is sinful and what is not sinful. Now, if we look at the life of John the Baptist in Luke chapter 1, John the Baptist was born being filled with the Holy Spirit. And the scripture said this, that as he grew physically, he also grew in power in his spirit. So the spirit, his own spirit, grew along with his body. And I think that is a picture of a new Christian in Christ. That once you are born again, your spirit of being touched, your spirit is sanctified, and then your spirit begin to grow with God, and you grow in power. In 2 Timothy 1:7 said that the spirit that is in you now, the new spirit that is born again, is not timid, but it is with power. It is with love, and it is able to control itself. It gives self-control. The spirit that is in you is that. It is not the Holy Spirit, but it's your spirit. If you look at your Bible, this is in small case. It's not in capital case. Now, Peter said this in 1 Peter 3:4, saying that this woman who is in faith, her spirit is different. If you have your Bible, would you turn with me? We can read this together. This Peter talked about woman, but I think this also applies to man. 1 Peter 3:4. Instead, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. Your spirit, one, it is sanctified, it's gentle, and it is beautiful. The inner self become beautiful before God. Not only woman will be beautiful from the inside out, but man too. Those who are in Christ are beautiful from the inside out. And I think that is how we know person to be a Christian, because we can see that the person changed from the inside out. And Jesus talked about his disciple after they come to faith in Jesus, and before his death, Jesus talked about them as being strong in spirit, even though the body are weak. In 1 Corinthians 5:3 and Philippians 2:2, Paul talked about his spirit longing to have fellowship with the spirits of other believers in other places, in Corinth as well as in Philippi. So here, I see this, that a sanctified spirit first longed to be with God. Now, if your spirit is not sanctified, your spirit will run away from God, will see God as the enemy. But if your spirit is sanctified, then you long to be with God. But also your spirit long to have fellowship with other believers. An implication of this is like this. People who are not born again, the spirit are not sanctified, they find it very difficult to come to church because they see that there at church is where people worship God. They will not want to come to church. Also, they will not want to have fellowship with us at church because people at church are strangers, different. But if your spirit is sanctified, then you have a longing to be at church. You have a longing to have fellowship with God. You have a longing to have fellowship with other believers. And you can look at your life. Do I have a life like that? Is my spirit longing to be with God? Is my spirit longing to have fellowship with others? And if your spirit is longing to be with God and with other believers, now that your spirit has been sanctified. The second part is the soul. Now the soul is translated as the essence of life in terms of thinking, willing, and feeling. What's that all about? That the animated life. If you don't have a sanctified soul, your thinking would not be right. Your will would not be aligned with God's will. It will be to your own desire. And then your feeling would be against what God is doing in your life or in the world. The word soul, psuche, is very close to the English word psyche, psychological. In some translations, it is called the psychological being of man, the aspect of the psychological being of who you are, who I am. So what does that have to do with sanctification? If you are not sanctified, you will not abhor sins, nor would you be longing to the holiness, righteousness of God. How so? Because everything would be considered an aspect of the way you are wired. And we can look at the psychologists' books and reports, whatnot. And they would say, oh, he just has a psychological problem. They don't see a spiritual component of that. They don't see a faith component of that. If a child has a behavioral problem, they said, oh, that is a psychological problem. But what God is talking about here is that you will not hate sin and love righteousness. That emotional abhorrent to sin, to what is against God's will, would not take place in your life. You would not know it. You would just become like other people think of sin as just, oh, he just has a behavioral problem. Oh, that's just a lifestyle he wants. Oh, that is just the way she is. And you would just put a label like that, and that is the way you treat people and how people treat one another. But with a sanctified soul, we would hate sin and we would come to God. And we would know exactly what is pleasing to God. Let me take the Pharisees, for example. The Pharisees, they hate sin. But they also hate the sinners. They hate the prostitute. They hate the tax collectors. They would hate gays. They would hate lesbians. They would hate idolaters. They would hate animists. They would hate Muslims. They would hate Buddhists. Why? Because the person who practiced that sin is labeled as part of that sin. You will not differentiate the sinner from the sin. But in Christ, his soul is not polluted. And Jesus is able to say, I hate sin, but I love the sinners. I hate corruption, but I love the tax collectors. I hate idolatry, but I love those people who worship idolaters. Jesus is able to separate the sin from the sinners. And that is how a healthy emotional being is able to do. The reason I take the whole counsel of the scripture to come to this point is because there is no other text in the whole Bible talking about sanctifications of the soul. This is the only text that we have. Now consider the life that pleases God that we have studied in 1 Thessalonians 4 and 5. If your emotion is not sanctified, then how would you honor a leader who is corrupt? How would you honor the emperor when the emperor is destroying your religion? Like Paul talked to the Romans, honor the emperor, even though the emperor is against your own faith and is killing your brothers and sisters. How would you honor someone like that if your emotion is not sanctified? You would be up in arm against the emperor. In our days too, if your spirit, your emotion is not sanctified, and those of you who love Trump would hate Clinton if Clinton become president, and those of you who love Clinton would hate Trump when Trump become president. But with a sanctified emotion, you would accept that this person is the one that God has chosen to lead our country at this time, even though I'm not agree with him or her or wherever. That is the kind of stability of emotion, and that would be a sanctified soul, a sanctified emotion. Who would be able to be patient with a guy who is lazy, who sit in the house day in and day out and don't do any productive work? Who would be able to be patient with a brother who call himself a Christian but live an immoral life? He said he's a Christian, but you can look at him and he had been in the church for 20, 30 years and there's no change in him. Who would be patient with that kind of person? Unless your emotion has been sanctified, would you be able to be patient with that person? How about thankful for tragedies in our lives? How would you be able to be thankful for things like that? Let's say you were in a crisis in life and you don't know what the answer is and you struggle day in and day out and you don't know what the answer is. And the Bible said, be thankful for everything on every occasion. How would you be thankful when your life is upside down? You won't be able to be thankful unless your emotion is now stable. Your emotion is sanctified. The Holy Spirit sanctify you and give you a healthy emotion. How to deal with issues in life. Now, we already talked about Jesus at Gethsemane last week. Facing arrest, torture, and the cross was hard. And Jesus was traumatized. His emotion was not stable, and then he fell down and cried to God. But after praying three times, he was comforted. And his emotion was stable, became stable. And so after prayer, he was able to face the people who come to arrest him. He was able to face torture. He was able to face the cross. And know that on the cross, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." Jesus, the victim of those torture, of the unjust judgment of the Jews and of the Romans, he was able to say, "Father, forgive them, for they are not doing." And I think it's for you and for me. We will face death with a lot of grudge if we are not sanctified. We will not be able to forgive our sons and daughters, friends, people who hurt us in life. But God wants us to be able to forgive them so that he can give us eternal life and give us his forgiveness as well. But here is another thing. When you face death, you face it alone. Even the Son of God must face death alone. He had no father to be with. He said, "Father, why are you forsaking me?" The Father turned his face. The Father moved away from death. And Jesus must face death alone. Each of us will face death alone. Doesn't matter if you're loved by your wife, loved by your husband, loved by your children, loved by the whole world, you will face death alone. And it is a lonely place you're going to be. And you will not be able to face death alone and in peace unless you are sanctified. I think that's why Paul said to the Greek there, "Your emotion will be sanctified." My emotion need to be sanctified to be at peace with God. The last part is about the body. And we know a little bit about this body. It's worn and dying out. We want to live long, but you know, illness, sickness is taking a toll, and the work that we do is taking a toll on this body. And this body will go because it has been polluted by sin. And this body needs to be sanctified and renewed. And Jesus has demonstrated from the resurrection that his body was sanctified. The body was raised to life again. This is a point that is against the Greek philosophers. The Greek philosophers said this body is just a shell, nothing to it. You can do whatever you want. You can even kill this body. It doesn't affect the gods. But Jesus had strong words against this thought. The Nicolaitans in Revelation chapter 2 are people who hold on to Greek philosophers' teaching and also hold on to faith in Christ. And they're trying to blend the two together. They said, "Jesus died to save your spirit. Save your soul. But Jesus did not die to save your body. This body will die and will corrupt and will turn into ash, and so there's nothing. Because Jesus only saved your soul and your spirit, You can do with whatever this body wish. The desire of the body is just the desire of the body. If I desire to have sexual intercourse with hundreds of men or women, that's just the desire of the body, and it doesn't affect your spirit at all. It doesn't affect your salvation at all. So they taught that. And Jesus said, I hate those Nicolaitans. I hate their teaching because they teach wrongly. And Jesus talked about another group that is called the Jezebel group. This is a group of people who believe that sexuality is part of humanity. So enjoy it, you know, sleep with whoever you want to. That's just part of life. It doesn't affect your salvation. Once you are saved, you are saved, and nothing can be done about it. You can do no evil to take away your salvation. So the Jezebel group just said, free sex, wherever you go, whatever you do. And Jesus condemned that. Jesus said, that is false teaching. Because the body is created for God, is created for the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God descends to earth. There's many beautiful places on earth, many beautiful mountains, many beautiful hills. We built many beautiful buildings that last centuries. But the Holy Spirit will not dwell in those places. The Holy Spirit has only one place to dwell, and that is in you and in me. It is in this body that the Holy Spirit come and dwell. Amen. Now, because the body is made for God, is created for God, God said, don't even tattoo it. Leviticus 19:28 said, don't even tattoo, don't put any picture on your body, don't even cut your body. No, the cutting of the body is a sign of slavery. The Bible said, if you want to be slave to someone for life, then He will call on people to witness and will cut your ear at the doorpost. Then you become a slave to that person's life. I think part of the human culture of having earrings and other things, just like the monk culture and having this necklace, you know, that's a sign of slavery. That's the necklace. We essentially said this is the Lusau is the handcuff, but instead of cuffing your hand, it's cuffing your neck. We beautify that as part of our culture, but it originated from the fact that we were enslaved by the Chinese. I think all the cutting in our body are traceable to situations like that, where we were held slave. And instead of making a bad thing out of it, we trying to beautify it, to modify it, to moderate the stigma that attached to it. So we cut our body. But the Bible said, don't cut your body unless you become a slave to someone for life. And that's how we understand that this body that God created is to be sanctified. Jesus came and he healed the body because the body is supposed to be for God. And so he rebuked sickness and disease in the body. But I think more importantly is the casting out of demons from the body. This body is for God. It's not for unclean spirit. It's only for the Spirit of God. So God wants this body back for God to use. That's how God would want to sanctify this body. Why we are here on earth. To sum up, I think these three parts of the body can be said without using those three parts. I would summarize like this. With sin, we are away from God. We don't even know God. In order for us to come back to God, we would need to be sanctified and redeemed and made holy. Only then would we be able to come back to God and to call God our Heavenly Father and to have a relationship with God. That part needs to be sanctified. We cannot come to God. Only God can come to us. Only God himself can make ways for us to come to him, and that is part of what Paul called here sanctification of the Spirit. The other part is that our emotions, our being are so corrupted, so polluted, we see things as normal of being a human. And we are not able to discern the word of God. We are not able to discern the will of God, the heart of God, the desire of God for us to be holy. And so our mind, our thoughts need to be sanctified and processed so that we would be able to discern what is righteous and what is not. What is what God will for us to do and what is not. And so the notions of knowing good and evil need to be sanctified. Your brain, your mind, your thought, your feelings, even your culture, my culture, would need to be sanctified for us to find God, to be able to live in the world of God. And the last part is that this body will be raised from the dead again. That God wants that. God intended for that. And God wants you to honor your body for God's sake. And don't even do anything to your body because God honored that body. And we should too.